Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line at 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com. And, of course, our venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Congratulations on finding the studio 2 weeks in a row. Joey Pyburn. So Joey and I had a we had a difficult part of our relationship this week. It's we
need a little counseling, do you?
We ran out of herring in the middle of a hot coho mooching bite, and it was my fault because Joey, the bait man, you know, just loads the boat up with.
Might have asked the day before. Hey, do I need to bring anything?
Plenty
of herring on the boat.
No,
we're good.
So when was the last time Thomas mooched?
One package of herring on the boat.
One package of herring, well, and you got a white hot mooching bite going on.
In fairness, there was a few strips I cut too. So there was like a dozen, but no, it's bad.
So we ended up cut plugging anchovies.
Did it work?
I mean, they spun nice, but we just didn't get back on them, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Bottom line is, you guys found a wad of coho somewhere up there up in North Sound, bunch of bait around birds. Like, hey, let's go drop over there, and bam, coho's everywhere, getting them on the mooch, on the drop. It doesn't get any better.
Puget Pounder jigs, and the cool thing was, Joey's reeling one up, and I'm standing over the net, and here comes a wad of freaking coho. Mm-hmm.
Chasing my fish up. It was so cool.
So we should tell Toback about that, because it's the closest thing he's going to get to a tuna bite, right, at this point right here. You know, I tell you what, if you don't get out coho fishing in Puget Sound, you're missing out. This is the best coho salmon fishing I've seen in a decade.
It's good. And, I mean, there are a ton of coho out there.
And there's some chunkers.
Size looks good on the coast. Talking to guys out on the hump, they're just starting to push in out there, but they're really healthy fish. Lower Columbia, healthy coast pushing in here. These fish have been nice, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a 7.5-pounder to win the Edmonds Coho Derby last weekend, but that's gutted and gilled.
No.
Right? No.
It was almost 12 gutted and gilled.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Was 11, it? It was 11 4, and a half. 6, oh, a 7.5 was the youth division. Excuse me.
True, but division. Here's the thing. A couple years ago, in the midst of the blob,
I know it was
a 7-pounder that won the whole thing, right? So that just tells you. I mean, you know, that's
and that's a we got to remember that fishing. If you look at the numbers, the fishing was red hot, and then it kind of started to die. And then for the Derby Day, it wasn't great fishing. Yeah. I mean, I think there was only
231 or something like that. Yeah. 250, there. 930 anglers.
It would have been a way bigger fish if the Derby would have been on Thursday. Thursday was lights out.
Well, that's what happens here in the Sound. These coho push in, and these weather fronts zap them a little bit.
They do.
I know yesterday with this low coming in, just kind of, I mean, folks were still getting fish, but it wasn't as red hot as it was. Thursday was hammer time. So, all the way down into the South Sound, out in front of the Puyallup, Slag Pile, Tacoma. There was cohos everywhere, but yesterday, simmered down just a little bit, but that's that weather front.
And the cool thing about it was we got on the west side of possession right at tide change. There was not a cubic foot of water moving, and there was not a breath of wind. I mean, there wasn't a wrinkle. It was the Puget Sound Glass Company, 100%. And that's when you can really get a great vertical deal going, because you got no boat control issues. The current's not pushing you off them. But I wish we would have got there earlier, because we stopped at we left Port Everett, stopped at the shipwreck. And I figured there's a couple easy ones there for us. And there was.
There was.
And
we could have just stayed there and banged on them. But we
were on a fact-finding mission.
Well, and your freezers are full.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine.
Yeah.
It's the time of year after a full season of fishing. You guys have been out there all summer to go mess around a little bit. And it worked. It worked great.
And to mooch up coho.
And we
rounded the corner. And first thing we saw were like four giant bait balls, seagulls crashing on them. And I was like, Tom, go right there. And I ran back to the back of the boat before pulled the moocher down off out of the rocket launcher. I'm back there cutting a bait. Before those guys were out of the cabin.
Tom's already swinging the downrigger out, the downrigger ready.
No. We were
Joey,
full
what
on.
Are you doing?
Before they were out of the cabin, because I dropped right away on top of it, and it didn't go 20 feet and my line stopped.
So on the drop, what do you do?
I just,
what's your next move now? Now you just got bit on the drop.
It stopped. I could see tick, tick, tick. Yeah. I just started to reel.
Mm-hmm.
And I reeled down until it loaded up. And mm-hmm. it ate that thing. It was on.
Most everyone's initial reaction is to just start swinging.
Yeah.
Swing.
No.
And then just look at the rod tip and you just flip it into gear and start cranking.
Yeah.
And crank and crank and crank and crank and crank until and it comes tight.
They're on.
And they're pretty much on.
Yeah.
You know?
You just get on them at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Good times. Well, hey, along those lines, we've got David Miller jumping on from the Everett Coho Derby. He's going to jump on here in just a little bit, 6:25. Talk about the big event coming up next weekend out of Everett. Largest derby on the West Coast, right? Largest salmon derby on the West Coast?
Probably about 1,000
more.
Anglers.
Yeah. I would 1,500?
Yeah,
1,800?
Probably 1,500.
Yeah.
And since last year in the Great Unpleasantness, they didn't give away the derby boat. There's a Yamaha-powered Raymarine Electronics, you know, full, you know, Berwyn rod holders, the whole bit.
We saw it out there. They were out there fishing on Thursday.
Somebody's been breaking that boat in. It was very kind of somebody to be out there on that boat. I think it was Karsten.
I'd be running the heck out of that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
6,000 RPMs.
We're going to press them up a little bit. Things are changing a little bit. That derby is river and salt.
Yes.
Is that correct? Well,
yeah.
With this rain, that's going to change things a little bit. And we've also got an extension on the Snohomish River system here that's going to push that thing through next weekend. So folks can get out there and fish cohos on the river, too. We'll press up David about some of his thoughts on where this winning fish next weekend could come from, because it could very well come from the river.
100%.
Next weekend. 7 o'clock, our good friend Lee Jost from Boss Shot Shells. We've had him on here before. Absolute character and the face of Boss Shot Shells. One of the leading outdoor photographers, too, in the country. And an absolute waterfowl nut. He's going to jump on 7 o'clock, talk about what Boss has got going. Their shot shell selection has expanded greatly this last year.
And his career expansion is just crazy because he photographed rock bands, right? And then
he discovered waterfowl. And then it messed up everything, much like the rest of our lives.
Yes, exactly,
we took the Y in the road came and we took.
And he took the path to Quacker College.
That's right.
That's what led him this way.
7 o'clock, he's going to jump on. Talk about Boss Shot Shells. The boutique shot shell thing is kind of blown up across the country, and Boss is leading the way with what they got going on. We run those Boss Shot Shells, and they are murder.
They are little red death pills.
They are. So yeah. 7 o'clock, Lee's going to jump on. He's a lot of fun. 7:25, Austin Mosier heading for Vernita now. He's been on the Lower Columbia all summer. Well, not all summer, since what, early August,
Dude,
late July?
He hammers on it. He had a slight break in between the time we were fishing with him in January on Rufus Woods, and he swings right into walleye on that same stretch. And then takes care of some Banks Lake stuff. Then he's up to Sitka, and it's back down to do sockeyes and then buoy 10. So he's down to his last 18 days. So it's Vernita Kings for the win. For
and
Austin,
I hear from him all the time. He's just like, man, I just work so much. And I'm like, well, schedule a couple of days off.
Yeah, come on.
But he's like,
but you can't.
He just can't.
The phone's ringing, and you just cannot do it.
And he moves his whole operation moves to wherever he's at. So he's basically living there. You know, you might as well work. What are you going to do? Sit in your fifth wheel and stare at the wall? So he's going to be on the water, and that guy is an absolute stick and so much fun to fish with.
And the challenge was he switched boats in the middle of the season. I mean, he got a brand new boat right at buoy 10. And so we're sitting there in the West Mooring Basin trying to, you know, get the electronics dialed in and everything like that. And he's learning it on the fly. But man, that boat's like a comfortable shoe now.
Good looking boat. Yeah.
It is a nice.
Yeah. The Moel Columbia center console.
Beautiful boat. Center console.
He's got the Raymarine in the front so his clients can see it.
I see a lot of guys doing that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, You got six guys sitting up there. Might as well let them see what you're seeing.
Well, and it keeps guys from walking around in your wheelhouse.
No, it keeps guys from asking you the question over and over. How deep is it?
Well, is there any fish on the screen?
I got the screen right there. Just refer to the screen, please.
Yeah. Don't talk to me anymore. How many days does it take before you stop talking to your dudes up north?
Days? About hours. Yeah, let's go hours. Yeah.
Do you get the question askers?
I got some guys that ask so many questions. Like, you can't even finish answering this question, they're on to the next question.
Exactly.
And it's just like a machine gun fire.
It is.
And finally, I'll just make light of it. I'll be just like, dude, you didn't even let me answer the last question. You're already asking the next question. What is this?
I got to sit guys down and go, look, you get one question every 10 minutes. That's it. If I get more than
you've
six
questions. You've met your quota for the day.
No, you get six questions an hour. That's it, right? Yeah.
I'm super quiet on the boat. I just stand over there and stare at the screen like a moron and run my downrigger. And people don't really ask me a lot of questions. They're like, that guy doesn't look like somebody who can answer many questions.
Not, Joey Pyburn will not engage in a conversation in the middle of a bite, I can tell you.
Wear your overalls?
Yeah.
With your helmet on. Yeah. Like, don't mess with that
guy.
That's
it. Don't talk to Joey.
He's good at two things, staring at that screen and running that downrigger.
That's about it.
And he's done running the downrigger. All right, so tell you what, load up that text toy, 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards, 866-979-3776, locally, 206-421-3776. Please call and ask us a question on the Reverse Chime Hotline. We're here for questions today, right? Absolutely. All right, so we're going to talk some silver techniques and maybe a phone call and text from y'all here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See y'all.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Rob Bensley to my left, Joey Pyburn to my right, Matt Nelson behind the glass. And if you enjoy the weather outside, please call in and thank Rob Bensley for bringing this sideways ring.
You're welcome.
SEAK. It's a Gale Craft Advisory today, Puget Sound. Yeah, no, it's so look, it rained. Puget Sound is bumpy. What should a guy do? Gun to your head, you got to catch a coho salmon today. What do you got to do?
Probably the lower part of some of these rivers, yeah. You know, North Sound. I haven't heard much about the Green. I'm sure there's something going on.
See, that
in
Duwamish deal, yeah, is really
sure
freaking cool.
Something's happening in there, but definitely yeah. The Snohomish Skagit. And the Snohomish, they just push it out till the 26th, yeah. Get you through next weekend. And there's cohos coming in there.
The reason
and lower Skagit as well.
And the reason they did that, obviously, is an abundance based in-season estimate. So they upgraded the forecast, which is great news because we've been trying to dig out of a coho abundance hole in the Snohomish system for a number of years. And this is just a wonderful shot in the arm.
Yeah, I talked to Todd Daniels yesterday, and he's about to move on. So he was willing to talk and give us some tips. Yeah. But he said, look, here's the deal. They're switching from fishing pinks, moving into catching more coho. They're tough right now because the water's so low, but you got to have eggs, and then also the wiggle wart program. They're catching them. It's just once this water comes up, you get a little bit of color. It's going to be game on. He said there's already a bunch of them in there. They're just spooky, you know.
And the cool thing is, when coho first hit the river, they're snappy. Once they've been sitting in the creek, get kegged up in a hole.
But the problem with the Snohomish is if you don't get water in there, there's cohos everywhere.
Yes.
There'll be thousands of them, and good luck getting one single one to bite unless you accidentally floss it with a 10-foot leader with a Dick Knight.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But we got a shot of rain now. It's brought the water temperature down. It's going to bring that river up a little bit, and those things are going to be snappy in there. They're going to bite. Skagit doesn't have that problem because all the water comes out of the bottom of those dams. Nice and cold. Those fish bite. They're biters in there. But the Snohomish, it's always been a problem. Those fish are tight-lipped, but not now. We got some rain, and I think it's going to rain off and on for the next week and kind of keep that thing going. So that's good news for the local anglers here. I also talked to Gabe Miller down at Sporco yesterday. He said Puyallup, they're getting some cohos out of the Puyallup too. So kind of on the back end of the pink run, you guys said you haven't caught a pink in the Sound now for 2, 3, 4 days, which is
well, and you'll see
which
the
is
pink,
good.
You see the pinks jumping more than you do the coho in the Sound. And if, so if you're not seeing those flippers, jumpers as much, and on Thursday, dude, you could have seen one jump from Everett to Possession Point. I mean, it was that flat glass, and we saw very few, if any. And the cool thing about Thursday, it was just like kind of like the last day of summer, man.
It was
just glass, and we actually worked all the way out in saltwater. You know, we worked out past Lagoon Point, and it was interesting because there was a lot of our brothers from Area 7 that were kind of slid down because Area 7 is only open for commercial fishing right now. So, you know, so we saw some of those guys there, but we didn't see much going on. So we worked our way back in and then just started catching fish again, started getting hooked up again by the time we got back to Possession.
Well, that Lagoon Point thing, I checked in with some guys on Whidbey, and it's been pretty good up there.
In fairness, we got there later in the morning.
Well, and we were there on the wrong tide. And
right.
So yeah. Guys have been whacking them. That's why when we went up there, there were 10 or 12 guys kegged up working that seam. We just were there at the wrong time. But, it's going to be interesting to see. I checked in with Kenny Daynard out at CQ last night, and he said that they're catching coho on lingcod jigs. out there. You know, I was like, hey, how's the coho fishing?
On those
like,
Lancer jigs? You
yeah. He's like, oh, you. I mean, we're trying to catch lingcod and we're catching coho.
Yeah.
He said, it's good. Everywhere.
I talked to Pat Hoagland. He was on the way home. He fished with Tony Flora the last 2-3 days up there. He said it was bananas.
Yeah.
Fishing just with cut plug herring, just dragging them around nice and slow and just roping cohos. Big wild, a lot of wild fish, but getting their hatchery fish. And all those fish are headed this way, a lot of them anyway. Some of them might take a left and head up into Canada, but a lot of those fish are coming, man. Oh, we just got a text here, 710-710. Hey, don't bother hitting the Skagit. It's toast, and it is toast. I just pulled it up. The Cascade River, 4,800 CFA.
Whoa.
Yeah. It shouldn't be more like Cascade Creek because it's more of a creek.
Yeah.
But it's toast. Yeah. The Sauk is toast. You can hit some of those backwater areas on the lower Skagit with wiggle warts or spinners, something that makes some noise and catches cohos down in there.
That was your stock and trade for years, dude. Tossing the, hitting the
wood.
I
would wait. Honestly, when guys were like, oh, it's blown, that's when I'd be going, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take the jet boat, launch in the dark, run up river, and hide out in some of those backwater areas and throw wiggle warts and spin big Vibraxes, number five Vibraxes, and just rope cohos in there. So there is still some opportunity there, but definitely, especially for bank fishing, pretty tough. Might want to hold off.
So if you're not over the Chinook yet, you talk to Matt Chandler, and he's working that stretch above I-5 right now in the Columbia.
Yeah.
And it's spinners and pro trolls, and it's hammer time.
Yeah, there's still a ton of Chinook. And then there's a bunch of coho below that, all the way down to buoy 10 still. Massive amount of coho down there. He's catching more Chinook up there. The coho haven't quite pushed up to him. A bunch have gone by there, but he said there's so many coho below that, they're going to get this weather too down there. All those fish are going to move. There's going to be still great Chinook fishing and coho fishing, that whole stretch, Warrior Rock up.
We have the first pheasant releases this weekend. It's a youth hunt this weekend, right?
This morning, yeah.
And then, of course, next week during the Everett Coho Derby, it's the Geezer weekend, okay? So, it's cool because now things are starting to roll. And we're starting to see dead elk, all over the place on social media. How big was the one Ryan Lampers, your cousin, got, dude? Because I saw that rack on his back.
Right. And look, we've played this game for years. The first picture I got was a picture of the hoof.
And his foot.
And his foot.
Teasing you.
Yeah, like, hey, look how big the hoof is compared to my foot. Right.
Just follow along now. Yeah, I'm actually going to tell you.
Yeah, I know you're going to follow along, stupid, because
you sent me that picture, and I'm like, whatever. Just send me the damn
then
picture.
Then usually there'll be like a nut sack or something, But then he did show us that picture of him hiking off the mountain.
Just a
he was up there solo. Once he killed, he called one of his psychopath friends he's got now, and they hiked in there to help.
11 miles in.
Well, they weren't. He killed it 9 miles in, but he found another trail that he could access. So 5 miles, still 5 miles in.
Mm-hmm.
They went in. They're pulling that bull out, and that's where we see the video of that bull on his back. And what you got to look at is the beam length, how far down that thing goes, which is a long way.
Nearly dragging on the ground.
And how wide.
Yeah.
Yeah, the width on that thing.
I mean,
a masher.
It's a big bull. And Ryan went straight from there, got that meat out, dumped it somewhere in Nevada there at a butcher shop, drove straight to New Mexico, and now he's out of range again. And, that's
good.
All we'll get from him until
New
Mexico.
He can't send us any pictures. That's fine.
Yeah.
I still feel like a man.
Okay? So we did it. We got a reopener on the coast, too, didn't we? Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, that's good news, too. We got a question from the 360 on the Clearwater and the Queets. I got to look in on that right now, but I know you do have a couple Forks area rivers that are open. I don't know about the Clearwater and Queets just yet. But anyway, let's tell you what. We'll pop out of here for a quick break. Log on to EverettCohoDerby.com. We're talking $10,000 in cash, first prize, $5,000 for second place, a boat. Dave Miller of the Everett Coho Derby going to join us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
We saw the Puget Pounder do some business this season, but to stick a coho on a jig going vertical, I mean.
Yeah, our buddy Chris Sherwood, who we had on the boat, obviously, 20 coho followed my fish up, and it's like, throw a jig in there. Bang. They grabbed it.
So our next guest, Dave Miller, was out that same day on a flat, calm Thursday morning. Joining us now, the chairman of the Everett Coho Derby, Dave Miller. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing good, buddy. But I just want to rewind to Thursday a little bit. You were a little bit farther down the bar that morning, and tell us a little bit about your co-catching morning last Thursday.
Well, it's been like that the last couple of weeks, it seems like. But I was out with John Martinez, and we had a hunch to go to the west side of the bar. Tons of bait, tons of birds, the whole nine yards, but we weren't marking anything close to the bottom or in the water. So John said, let's move. We moved 5 minutes away to the east side of the bar, and we hooked up, and we just not stopped catching fish until we got our four hatchery, and off we went. We had done by 8 o'clock that morning.
So in my mind, I haven't seen coho fishing like this for probably the better part of a decade. Give me your perspective on this fishery and how fired up you are for next weekend's event.
Oh, this has been a great coho season. I mean, freezers are full and gas tanks are full because you don't have to go very far to catch fish. I caught a 11.6 pounder just off Mukilteo last Monday. Whether you go to the Edmonds, the bar, shipwreck, whatever, I mean, there's just coho are there for everybody this year. It's kind of fun.
And what's been on the menu for these coho? Has it been hoochie spoons, bait? What have you been doing out there to get these fish to go, buddy?
You know, I kind of stick to the Purple Haze hoochies with the Ace Fly insert with a herring strip. You know, that's been my go-to thing the last couple of years. It's just done me really well, really well.
Well, and you guys have done a great job. The Evercoho Derby's kind of been a local rite of passage. This is 25? What edition? How many years has the Evercoho Derby been going on, Dave?
Yeah, this is the 28th
year.
That's awesome.
28th year.
And
every year, it just gets bigger and better. We just love it.
No question about it. So first prize, $10,000, sponsored by John Sporting Goods, Everett Bayside Marine, Harbor Marine. Second place of $5,000 comes to you courtesy of Roy Robinson's RV Center. Third place, $2,500, courtesy of Silver Horde and Dick Knight Spoons. And then a bunch of prizes on top of the cash win place and show prize. I mean, this is a logistic and organizational challenge, but every year you guys just nail it to the wall. And also the average fish weight wins a Raymarine GPS fish finder. So I mean everybody basically that shows up at this thing and the awards are going to be at Bayside Marine at Port Everett is going to walk away with something on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, our sponsors, and don't forget Dwayne Lane's there on the first place fish, but, you know, our sponsors this year, when I asked them if they wanted to be involved, it wasn't just yes, it was hell yes.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing going, and it's been really good. So, you know, we got a lot of contingency prizes for different things, and every kid that has a derby ticket, whether they catch a fish or not, is going to walk away with the prize.
Yeah, super cool event. Now, what about the river stuff, man? I mean, we got a little rain here this weekend. Actually, a lot of rain this weekend. River levels are coming up. Coho are pushing into the Snohomish system. When was the last time a river fish, a coho caught out of the river, won the event? Can you recall?
It was just last year. Yeah. Yeah. A kid by the name of Adam Perez pulled a 11.8-pound coho out of the Cascade last year.
And I think the river, I mean, I remember when I was younger, it seemed like the river always kind of was – the winner. Like, we'd go out there in the salt and some kid would drag in a, you know, freak show 15, 18 pounder out of the river.
There's some big fish to push in.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Especially the lower Snohomish. Well, I mean, there could be some huge silvers in there.
Well, it's exciting that they extended it one more week. You know, it's not only is it good for the derby, but it's good for the fishermen and guys at Triangle and Three Rivers as well, you know. So it's going to be exciting time.
So where can folks get tickets for the event and find more information, buddy?
You know, go to the website, theevercohoderby.com, but you can get tickets. Every year we sell them at John's and Bayside, Harbor Marine, Three Rivers, Performance, Sportco, Outdoor Emporium, Holiday Triangle. And this year we picked up Sportsman's Warehouse with the loss of Mike Chamberlain at Ted's.
And retired, actually.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah.
He's been talking about it for about 30 years.
He finally did it.
Yeah, no question. Hey, kid, you want to buy a store?
Yeah.
So, like Dave just said, you can get tickets right on the website, evercohoderby.com as well. And then there's a team ticket you can get. Tell us about the team aspect of the Evercoho Derby, Dave Miller.
So this is something that we started several years ago, and Neil Booth from the Boat Insurance Agency, you know, he pitches in the first $500 to get this thing going. You go to the website. It's a team of four. They do not have to be on the same boat. They don't even have to be on the a boat. You need to be on the banks. And it's $10 per person, so $40 per team, and it just goes into the kitty. And whoever has the largest combination of the average weight for the team at the end of the derby wins the pot. It's kind of fun, yeah. And last year we had, even with the COVID last year, we still had 31 teams signed up.
That's cool, and I love the rules. A team will comprise of only Everett Coho Derby adult youth participants, and a team name is required. I could just, I'd like to go. You probably can't air some of the names of the teams that enter in the team event.
How many tickets normally sell in this event, man? I mean, it's upwards of 1,800, isn't it?
Well, you know, we write our budget for 1,700 tickets, and usually it's more than that, you know, and we'll get, you know, 2 to 250 kids tickets that we give away for free, 12 and under. Last year, because of COVID, you know, it was just over 1,100, I think, we sold. But we're back full force this year. We're going to have an awards at Bayside Sunday at 3, providing, you know, the COVID thing. We're asking everybody to watch the guidelines on the website. Please bring a mask and feel comfortable wearing your mask if you want. If we get over 500 people there, you know, of course, you know, Washington State Law, we're going to have masks, but you know, just keep an eye on that. We're going to do the best we can to keep everybody safe.
He's Dave Miller, chairman of the Everett Coho Derby. The website is everettcohoderby.com. Dave, thanks for all you do, and go grab that box of T-shirt out of Jeff Lalonde's office this morning there, buddy.
I sure will. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Thank you,
thanks, Dave. Thanks for all you do, man. Great job, buddy. See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right, coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week for the last, absolute 100% last weekend of summer right here. We got a couple picks for you here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
The concept's multifunction navigational displays, and it is the state of the art in marine electronics. Raymarine takes care of everything from your engine package monitoring to radar, sonar, autopilot, and of course, Joey's favorite, Yacht Rock Radio on Sirius Satellite, right? No, not so much. Not so much. It was cool to have some Raymarine guys on board this week, though. We had Brendan Weiss, Jim Bandy, and Mike Sertic on the boat. And just those guys came from different fisheries. One of them's from Florida, and one of them's from the Gulf. And you know, the thing of it is, you get 200 yards offshore in Mukilteo, and it's 500 feet deep. And I go, is that right? Is it 500? Because they got to go 60 miles offshore to get 50 feet deep off of Florida, you know, and the Gulf, you know, is it. So these guys' challenge is kind of understanding a lot of different markets, and for them to watch Coho, and we were, of course, doing the zoom in, and we were watching fish come up and follow the gear and stuff like that. But to get their input from other fisheries is really
Did you tell them
really
about cool. the razor clam opener yesterday?
I actually it never came up in conversation, no.
You missed out. It's a 20 razor clam limit on the coast right now.
And they're big.
Since 1974 that the limit has not been 15. There's a bonus limit on the coast open yesterday through Friday? No, next Saturday. Through next Saturday. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Ton of clams.
Will you hurry up and go dig us some razor clams, please?
Yeah, with all my free time.
We got our new SMI clam guns. Is it a gun or is it a shovel? What is it?
It's a gun.
The gun is the shovel, and the shovel is the gun.
Is the tube. Yeah.
And we've had this discussion before and gotten lit up on the text toy, which is fine. I'm all about getting lit up on the text toy. But tons of razor clams on the coast. 62 tentative digging days from yesterday through the end of the year. And they'll be continually updating us with test results on the coast as these digs come up. But it's looking good. All the test results for this one. The clams were just flushing the stuff out of their system from last year, so we should be good to go the rest of the season on the coast. The other hot topic right now, and we've been babbling about this the whole show, is the silver fishery.
Mm-hmm.
The Sound's cranking, CQ's cranking, the coast is cranking. Columbia River, the biggest coho run since 1938 in the Columbia River. They're even reopening stuff up on the upper end. Icicle River, just opened up. The upper Columbia from Priest Dam all the way up to Wells is open for coho.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue Point up to Warrior Rock just reopened as well.
Yeah.
For a two hatchery coho limit in there. Lots of coho. We just got word that the Salduck and the Quileute also opened up for coho out on the coast, which is good because that had been closed down. All of our buddies out in that Forks area have been crying the blues. Basically, not much guiding out there this fall, but they're gonna get to fish out there. So good news, man. And we got rain here locally now.
That's going to be the challenge, is we got some weather around. So obviously a little lumpy out on the Sound. Mm-hmm. The rivers are going to kind of turn brown.
Toast.
So what do you do? It's like, for me, I would take that bumpy, you know, Sound and
for
go
sure.
out there. And you and I were talking about it. Some of the best coho fishing is if you got the boat for it, go out there, get your stern to the wind and just ride those waves and run your stuff shallow. Cut plug right on the surface, or even I remember years ago before I started elk hunting a lot, Ray and I would go out and we would fish in late September, even into October, and we'd go out there in that wind in our little open boat, and you could almost see your flasher back there.
Yeah.
Run it back behind the boat a little further, get it down. You'd almost have to run it down to 20 and then bring it up to like 8 or 10. And you could almost see it in the waves back there, and those coho were smashing it right in the wave. And that is some of the funnest fishing.
Well, and that chop keeps the fish up.
It does.
And it keeps them aggressive.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
They don't get spooky.
Yeah. And North Sound, I mean, it's cranking, man. I mean, we got the big derby coming up next weekend. There'll be a lot of folks out next weekend. But you got this whole week.
Weather mellows out. Monday morning, the weather mellows out. Sunday afternoon even, yeah.
Yeah. So you got some sick leave built up.
You
probably worked extremely hard all summer, built up a little sick leave. Now's the time to get a little runny nose, something to get out there and get some coho fishing.
And the thing of it is, we...
Is that all I have to do?
That's all. It's different for you. But with regard to what we're hearing coming in the Straits and other things, we're not at the peak of this coho fishery yet.
No way.
I would say it's going to happen, you know, before the end of the month. I mean, it's going to keep getting better and better. Some of those bigger ones are definitely going to show up as well. If you don't want to go fishing, let's go spawning. You want to go spawning? WDFW is looking for volunteers at the Wallace River Hatchery right now to help get some of these fish through the process of spawning. I'll post this on social media later, but Trevor Jennison of the Wallace River Hatchery is looking for volunteers this week to help spawn up at the hatchery. Also, about a month from this weekend is the general hunt opener. So if you're not sighted in yet, log on to seattlerifle.org. You can start next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. You can get up there to Machias or just go to seattlerifle.org, and you can start getting some paper punched and get your shooting iron all dialed in.
If you've never been involved in helping at a hatchery like that, it's a blast. If you love salmon, you're going to get your hands on as many as you want. And it's just cool, man. You go up there, you get in the pool. There's like, you know, there's probably a couple thousand fish in there with you. And you just start, I go for the biggest ones.
And they're king
salmon. I'm thinking of the future.
Yeah.
I'm like, anything under 25 pounds, I don't even go after it. I want those
big. No spawning for you.
Big, huge hens. And you grab them by the tail. And then when you wake up the next morning, you probably grabbed 100 of those things during the day. You wake up the next morning and your whatever hand you use, your right or your left, it won't work anymore. It'll be froze up.
So if you don't have a really comfortable set of waders and ring gear, I mean, you are going to get soaked.
It doesn't matter. Just jump in there in a pair of shorts because you're going to be soaked. Because you grab onto their tails and they thrash.
They do.
And you got five or six guys and they're doing it. It's like you're in a shower. You're just, by the end of the day, you're soaked.
And the trick is to get the tail out of the water.
You got
to
get it out of the water.
Yeah.
That big paddle. Otherwise, you're just, you know, they'll drag you around the pool.
Now the tip is don't take the wife's car to the hatchery, okay? And don't get in your rig with the clothes that
you just
got.
Or take the wife's car so you don't stink up your own. I'm going to drive my wife's Mini up there and really foul that thing.
We'll pop this out on social media but I'm going to try to get up there for a day this week for sure. 710 710 powered by Yamaha Outboards from the 206. Could you clarify the Bellingham Bay fishing regs? No. Next question.
I just sent a text to our attorney to dig into that, so he'll hopefully get back to us here. We've got one on retainer to decipher a lot of these regulations, so hopefully Ken Bagwell will get back to us here, and we'll get an answer to that. So.
He said the way it's written is confusing.
Yeah, well, that's
shocking.
Yeah, that's everything that has come out on the regulatory front, particularly this year, has been somewhat south of clear and having good context. But so all right, we're transit. You're back from Southeast Alaska. Okay. You are sick of fishing. You're taking.
I've been working on my bugling.
Hikes.
Working on my bugling. Yeah, working on my elk calling because that's kind of my kryptonite is the elk bugling program. So last night I had the dog. The dog was like feared for her life. Sounded like a pterodactyl in the house. Yeah, and wife was out with her girlfriends doing something. So I'm like, yeah, it's a good time to start the bugling program here. Somewhere mediocre at best. And then on the way in this morning. Bugling all the way into the show here, and well, I have a problem with the diaphragm calls. I just want to gag. I just have a hard time with it. When I get home, I'm gonna take some scissors and trim up. I got a bunch of Phelps calls. I'm gonna trim them up just a little bit on the back end. It's pretty tough. I got a really severe gag reflex, and it is like, whew, yeah.
Well, and the key is, all those times you spend driving, you just got to practice.
Yeah.
Practice, and.
Well, I did it on the charter boat all summer.
You did.
Hey, you guys get out back and shut the door, okay?
Why didn't I get any tips this summer?
I was walking down to the boat on Thursday, and I get down there. It's early; it's like 6 a.m, and I'm walking, and I have my I have my diaphragm calls in my pocket, so I throw it in, and I'm just bombing them out there, and people are probably still sleeping. Like, what the heck is that?
Dinosaurs. Yeah.
I'll do it like in my car too, and. Yeah. I'll stop at a stoplight and I just roll my window down.
I'm pretty sure the elk they don't gag when they're bugling. I've never heard one gagging out there, but
no.
But it's coming along. We're headed for Montana here soon. A lot of folks out in the woods right now archery hunting elk, and quite a few elk going down. I've seen photos all over the place. Some of our buddies have knocked some big ones down, and it doesn't really matter. The whole social media age now. It doesn't matter because any elk is a good elk.
It is.
I don't care if you get a cow, a spike. It does not matter. A couple of my buddies went over, hunted one of the units in Eastern Washington on the opener, got a cow and two spikes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Epic, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Just epic. So any elk is a good elk. The whole social media thing kind of bugs me a little bit. You post a picture of a spike or a cow or something, and everybody talks down to you like, well, that's not a 420 bull. What are you doing even posting that thing?
You should consider suicide and or getting off of social media. For
find the nearest bridge and please jump off.
Please jump off it.
Yeah, well, look, in Washington State, you're going to average a elk about every 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're going to hold out for a giant bull, you're never going to get one. I mean, maybe once in your lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're elk. They're delicious. Who cares?
They are, dude. We were grinding on some last night, and it's just... It is. If you've never really had a nice, tender steak, elk steak, not overdone, just and so speaking of which, we kind of didn't talk about this. We took a fresh coho, one of the ones we got on Thursday, and Joey does just a killer job filleting, gets the ribs out of them and stuff, and I took your rub, okay, Robbo's rub, sweet rub. You got it on the Prince of Wales website under the recipe section, and I sprinkled that stuff on and then let it sit on there for 24 hours and kept it in the fridge. Then light that Green Mountain Davy Crockett. Okay, get it up to 150. You pull the grill off it, cleaned it. So then skin side up, the flesh goes down on the grill, smoked it at 150 for 2 hours. Okay, and I'm just not.
Hard to go wrong with that program.
I'm not used to keeping salmon on the grill that long, but it's cool because coming from a place where I used to use the propane barbecue and then throw some sticks under it and kind of get a smoke to it, you still can't achieve the level of smokiness and the slow cooking like you can with that pellet grill. It's revolutionized my salmon eating. But no,
great.
Yeah,
no, poor
yeah, that's
salmon.
It. Oh, we need. Oh, yeah. That's it. Now I really love to eat them. But so today I'm going to try a chunk of halibut on that thing, and I'm going to take.
I worked in that rub for a long time. It's on the Prince of Wales Sport Fishing website.
That's
you can make
killer.
It at home. The key to that is smoked paprika.
Yes,
and it's good on chicken too. Chicken and pork.
Don't say chicken to me.
But fish. It's extremely good on salmon. But here's a new one. That our neighbors up in Craig this summer, he's out there cooking salmon one night. And I'm like, like a bird dog with his nose to the ground. I'm like, what is going on out there?
Yeah.
So I run out there, and I just did it the other night. I did 2 cups of soy sauce, 1 cup of olive oil, 2 packages of Italian dressing seasoning mix.
Yeah, the dry packets.
The dry powdered stuff. Throw that in there and mix it all up as best you can. It's just a marinade. Marinate it for an hour to an hour and a half.
It's incredible.
And so Joe had this when he came up bear hunting. We cut some kings and cooked this. I mean, it is ridiculous. Then get the grill as hot as you can get it. Okay, butterfly out your fillets or your steaks or whatever, and just flash them on the grill. Sear them on both sides. Pull them off when they're medium rare. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous.
So soy.
So 2 parts soy, one part olive oil,
okay,
and then one or two packages of the Italian seasoning, Italian dressing. Excuse
gotcha.
Me,
Italian seasoning dressing mix. Seasoning mix.
Yeah.
Would you do that with halibut? Would you do an oil marinade? No.
No, I
okay.
would. No.
No. Right. The
salmon.
It's
just ridiculous.
Gotcha.
And it gets, you know, that when you throw it on the grill, the hot grill, it gets a little char to it, and you got all that salt from the seasoning and the soy, and it's just, dude, I did it. I was doing it like 3 days a week when I got home from Alaska.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually Callie's like, okay, crazy.
Just stop.
What are you doing?
All right.
I can't eat this much fish.
Dude, I think I broke Kathy because we're having our morning cup of coffee, all right? And I've been fishing all week, and we've been, you know, eating
30 years ago?
Fish,
29
fish.
Years
no,
ago?
No.
You still remember the day.
She looks at me this morning and says, I had a dream that I was a fish checker, and I had to stamp each individual fish. And I go, no, I finally broke
this. This is why Tom needs help. This is why, right here.
But she was the one kind of keeping me semi-sane all these years. And now, you know, now I've broken her.
So speaking of halibut, talked to Dave Johnson yesterday over at Kitsap Marina. Try to check in at least once a week when I'm back home. And they were out offshore again, you know, fishing halibut last weekend. Completely stupid numbers of halibut. Chickens, not many big ones, but ridiculous. In fact, he fishes a, you know, like a heavy pipe jig or a really heavy triangle jig on the bottom with a grub on top. He said I had to take the grub off the top because we're getting two at a time. Like every time you drop, two at a time.
Wow.
And then maybe a 20-pound halibut with a 35-pound ling on the top. Or maybe a big ling on the bottom with a halibut on the top. Just stupid numbers on the prairie off the push. I think they may close it down here soon. But the bottom line is there's a bunch of halibut out there. It's good news for next year, too.
It is.
Very good news. And had some friends fishing out of CQ last weekend. They banged their coho, run out around the corner, got a bunch of halibut, did well. Now it's going to blow, you know, 50 miles an hour off the coast this weekend.
Not the time to do it, but
very good halibut fishing off the coast.
Interestingly enough, if you look at this forecast, and you're halfway interested in doing that, if you could look, you know, it's small craft today, obviously, but then come Sunday, it's 5 to 15. Monday is, you know, 5 to 15. Wednesday, there's nothing heading your way until Wednesday, but still, yeah. And guys, don't think about that offshore stuff starting this time of year. It's inland and upland, right? We're looking towards.
Time to dust off the shotguns, too.
Speaking
head out to the range.
Speaking
rifle
of which,
shotguns, yeah.
Have you ever heard of Boss shot shells? I think you have. I think you've pulled the trigger on a few. Lee Joe started his photography career photographing rock bands. Somehow, somebody ended up with him in a duck blind, and he was irrevocably ruined. Okay, so now to the point where he saw a void in the ammunition market and founded Boss Shot Shells. He's joining us next. Going to be a great, great interview there. Northwest Outdoor Report brought to you by Half Line Brewing. Austin Mosier, 18 more days of guiding. He's got Vernita Kings for the win. Roy Robinson, RVs Really Wear, and a pile more. Stay tuned for a jam-packed hour two right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.